Thanks, Dominic. Who's tired and ready to go home? Yeah. All right. Well, let's get through this. Let's get through this talk here. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors. Each of these guys provided data for the presentation today, or if they all provided data. I'm not using all of the data, but they're all included as co-authors. So let's talk about the effectiveness of insecticide oversprays for bollworm and stink bugs in the Southeast. So this should say stink bugs and bollworm are our major pest of cotton in the southeastern United States. Oversprays with insecticide are pretty much required on that acreage. And let's talk about them specifically. Bollworm, also called corneaworm, continues to put intense uniform pressure on our cotton. And I show this aerial photo at the bottom here of a 5-acre field that 10 years ago, I had a crazy idea. I told my technician, we're gonna plant some non-BT cotton in the field. We're gonna spell tigers, and then we're gonna plant Bolgar 2 around that. We're gonna see what happens. And it just happens to be the year that I had the heaviest bollworm pressure I've ever seen. But it clearly illustrates where you had differential survival, right? And the Bolgar 2 killed the caterpillars where you see the cotton, and the bollworms were so intense, they ate everything. They started eating leaves like soybean loopers, where you see the word tiger spelled. So is there uniform distribution of eggs? Looks like it. Anyhow, this pressure is probably, it continues, and you know, these technologies are constantly bombarded. Bollworm gets through some of these technologies, and we've got some tolerance, and it's a whole nother topic to talk about what's driving that, but you know, all of these insects, the bollworm insects, were called corn earworms because they come through corn. Stink bugs, the number one insect pest complex of cotton in the southeastern United States. Years ago, we did a lot of work on a dynamic, well, static boll injury thresholds beginning, and then we refined that with the dynamic boll injury threshold, refining that susceptibility period for bolls, and it works. It works great, and we preserve yield when we use that that threshold. The pyrethroid insecticides are still the chemistry that we use because we get a really good residual with the pyrethroids on stink bugs, and it's just the most effective and economical control. But we're losing efficacy with pyrethroids on bollworm, and we've continued some of the adult vial testing over the years. Dr. Musser provided vials. Get this pointer to work. Yeah, Dr. Musser provided vials for up to 2016, I believe. And in 2016, we noticed a huge change in survivorship in these vials. Bollworm was no longer being controlled like it was with pyrethroids. We switched over vial sources along in here, but we're still detecting some elevated survivorship, although that has diminished. Some of the other states in the Southeast started to see this in 15 and 14, I think. And the Mid-South, I think, was seeing it back in here. So. We still get some control of bollworm with pyrethroids, and because they're the product of choice for stink bugs, we're going to continue to use those in the Southeast. I pretty much said that there. Field performance of pyrethroids been slipping on bollworm, but we do get some control, so we're going to keep using because of stink bugs. Said that all already. I did some work 2008 where I looked at the length of residual with pyrethroids, and we get about a week, at least in 2008, we got about a week's worth of residual with something like karate on green and southern green stink bugs. So it's got to be in the tank for stink bugs. So what are we doing? Significant benefits of these oversprays. We've been seeing that since 96 when we had single gene cotton and had escape bollworms on the original technology. But in two gene cotton, where we've got more escape bollworms than the three gene cotton products we have now, using a pyrethroid alone is probably still okay in our geography. Using organophosphate alone is not a good idea on two gene products because we can certainly break that technology and release bollworms from some natural control. But more recently, using a pyrethroid plus a selective LEP selective material like Besiege or a pyrethroid plus Intrepid Edge, something like that, is definitely a good call. In three gene cotton, pyrethroid alone is probably our standard now. That's probably what most of our growers are doing. Organophosphate alone is probably okay in that system, although we can still break Bolgar 3 cotton with an OP by itself. And then again, of course, it's still a good call to use a pyrethroid plus a LEP selective material. And I just put some charts in here from some overspray work that I've done at the Blackville Station for a number of years. And when you have, this is untreated technology versus fully protected from bollworm. When you have a year, this is non-VT, when you have a year, when you have a pretty good difference here showing the intensity of pressure, we saw a difference almost in every case. This is still an increase where we protected. So bollworms were causing yield loss there. 2013, same thing, pretty intense pressure, a significant difference most of the time where we protected from bollworms. So the oversprays were definitely working. 2015, I had a little lower pressure from bollworm, but still, look, there was still a benefit from fully protected from bollworm. There, it just illustrates that bollworm's getting through these technologies. And then the same thing in 2016. So what's the best timing for these insects? Well, we've worked it out for stink bugs with the boll injury threshold and week of bloom. But for bollworm, Dominic and I did some work a couple of years ago, and this is just one chart from that work from my location. This is percent boll damage from bollworm. You got untreated check here. You got this is non-BT, and then there's 2-gene and 3-gene over here where we had very little pressure in those technologies. But just looking at timing, when I started spraying with Prevathon at the first or the second week of bloom, we prevented a lot of injury in the non-BT cotton. So timing, this is probably the best time to spray for bollworm across the board in the other technologies. So we kind of used that to design a set of treatments that we looked at last year. Many of us had 4 or 8 row plots. We used a lot of the technologies. That's the comprehensive list of the technologies available. We sampled for bollworm and stink bug damage indices, and the treatments were an untreated control. We wanted to target bollworm only, so we sprayed Prevathon at 20 or 27 ounces at the first week of bloom. We wanted to target stink bugs alone, so we used Bidron at the third and the fifth week of bloom. We wanted to do a composite treatment, stink bugs and some bollworm, so we went with Brigade, a pyrethroid, for 3 applications, the first, third, and fifth week of bloom. And then we wanted to completely control, as best as we could, stink bugs and bollworm, so we used Prevathon at the first week of bloom and Brigade at the third and fifth week of bloom. Does that sound logical? Trying to parse out the importance of each of these pests in the overspray scenario. So this chart looks kind of complicated, but let me set it up. Dominic had the best bollworm pressure. In fact, he had the only bollworm pressure, so we're going to focus on his data as far as bollworm. This is live larvae per 25 squares. For bollworm, each of the technologies I've got separated in the columns there. So let's just look at wide strike over here. The treatments that I just outlined are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that's just what we went through with bollworm, stink bugs alone, and then a combination of stink bug and stink bug plus bollworm sprays. He only found bollworms in the 2-gene products. Wide strike and Bollguard 2 didn't see any bollworms in the 3-gene products. But it's interesting to note that where Prevathon went out in the first week of bloom, he didn't see any. He didn't detect any. That would be the 2 and the 5 treatments here. Move along. This is live larvae per 25 blooms. It's the same thing. Detected bollworm in the 2-gene products, but not the 3-gene technology. And where he sprayed at the first week of bloom with Prevathon, he didn't see any live larvae. If you look at damaged squares, it's pretty much the same thing. This is pretty intense pressure of 60%+ damaged squares, but where he put that Prevathon application out, he pretty much protected from bollworm. He didn't have a lot of stink bug pressure in his trial, so you can see where he sprayed just for stink bugs, we got a little more injury from bollworm in those treatments. Moving on to damaged blooms, it's pretty much the same thing. These charts look all the same, but he's protecting from bollworm where he sprayed from, where he sprayed for bollworm specifically. And then I think this is the last chart on that. Again, it's the same thing with percent damaged bolls from bollworm. He's getting good protection. This is pretty decent pressure in 2-gene cotton, almost 65% boll damage. So a pretty good overspray trial in terms of a bollworm pressure. This is what he found in terms of damaged bolls from stink bugs. And if you look across the board here on the fifth week of bloom, which this was a sample date, the threshold would be this 10% line. He's pretty much at or below threshold for most of these products. Not sure why it's higher for wide strike, but there's a little more bowl damage from stink bugs and wide strike. But as a whole, if you averaged everything, you're probably right at threshold. So stink bugs were not that important in his trial. Looking at yield data, and again, let's just focus on the wide strike column over here. Here's untreated. Took a significant hit from bollworm, because this is bollworm protection alone. One spray of Prevathon in the first week of bloom. These will be our two sprays, or our two treatments where we had sprays for both stink bugs and bollworm, right? So pretty much tells you that bollworm was the pest in his test. This would be stink bug treatment alone, with just a couple of shots of Bidrin at the third and the fifth week of bloom. So there's a little difference here due to stink bugs, and we see that in trial after trial. You look at the other two-gene technology, Bolgard 2, and it's pretty much the same thing. Most of the yield loss in his trial was due to bollworm, and where we protected from bollworm, we pretty much protected from or it looked like the treatments were protected from both. And on this chart, I attempted to show that in terms of percent. If you used one of these treatments over here as a standard for controlling both pests, he protected 100% of the yield with the Prevathon application just for bollworm, and about 32% of the yield protected with stink bug alone sprays. Pretty much no difference here in the three gene technology, except for this one yield bar. I'm not sure why his yields were lower in the untreated in Bolgard 3 there. With not detecting any bollworms and any damage. And then the Bolgard 2 pretty much looks like the wide strike, where most of the overspray benefit was due to bollworm, with a little bump coming from the stink bug only. I know that's convoluted. Does that make sense? Is everybody following? I didn't have any bollworm pressure. In fact, we found one larva the entire time, and I ate that one, put it on Twitter. My tests were pretty much oversprays for stink bugs, and even though we didn't have bollworm pressure, we still had a yield bump where we sprayed for bollworm. None of this is statistically significant, but you can see everything is numerically higher than the untreated check in wide strike. Dominic had everything in one trial. I had separate trials. Looking at wide strike 3, it was pretty much the same thing. We had increased yields where we did something with an overspray, either for bollworm or for stink bugs alone, or for both bollworm and stink bugs, with this being Bidrin only for stink bugs, clearly illustrating that stink bugs were important. And we had heavier pressure than Dominic did. Stink bugs were certainly important. In fact, you look at something like Bolgard 2, I'm not sure why we had a yield reduction here where we sprayed for bollworm, but it just further illustrates they were not important in our overspray trials, and where we protected from stink bugs with these three treatments, we saw a yield increase numerically at least. Same for Bolgard 3 across the board, some benefit to spraying for these pests. And then it just goes on and on. We're almost done. Twin link plus. Did see a statistical difference here where we treated four stink bugs. These last three bars would be some sort of stink bug overspray, right? Either stink bugs alone with Bidrin, or a combination of pyrethroid plus, pyrethroid in the last two bars there, significantly higher than the untreated control. And we still saw a bump in the Prevathon treatment, despite not finding many bollworms in the trials. Not gonna spend a lot of time running out of time here. A couple of trials they had in Tifton, where they had stink bug pressure and didn't have any bollworm pressure, they saw a benefit. I'm not sure why the stink bug only protection with Bidrin was low there, but in the other trial it was really high. So no statistical differences there, but certainly stink bugs are important in Georgia. So to summarize, stink bugs remain our number one insect pest group of cotton in the southeastern United States. That's kind of difficult to illustrate in these small plot research with stink bug. Significant numbers of bollworms can't escape control from the BT proteins and cause issues, and we all know that, especially in two-gene products. Oversprays are standard practice and often result in increased yields. The pyrethroids remain effective for us in controlling some of those bollworm escapes, and they're so effective on stink bugs, so that's what we're going to continue to use until we see no benefit at all. And then the importance of scouting and matching the BT technology with an appropriate overspray is very important, can't be overstated. So that's it. Acknowledge the sponsors. We got 7 seconds for questions.
Let's thank Jeremy and ask him questions later. How about that?
There we go.